Hey, Robbie, you want to come up for a minute? This week I shot out a note on the email and invited people to put their name in. Thursday, we drew names and announced that Robbie would be in charge of the brown bag. So here's how this works. If you have not seen this before, Robbie has brought something. We drew her name at random from the people that submitted their names, and she has brought something. I do not know what is in said. Is it moving? No, it's not moving. Good. I don't know what's in said brown bag. However, this is what our sermon illustration is going to be today. I like to bust this out on holiday weekends or other fun times when we're in between things. During the children's time and the special music today, I will write a sermon based on whatever's in the bag. Scripture, reflection, the whole bit. Put it all together, and that's what I'll offer you today. I do this because I'm a very firm believer that there is meaning in everything. Everything. And often people will say, really? Meaning in everything? I'm like, yes, everything is a metaphor for life, and God can speak to us through anything. And at one point during college, someone said to me, prove it. And so we started this. Now, we'll open it up. Before we open it, we're going to pray. This isn't just a little sideshow act here. This is an important piece of recognizing that God's Spirit is present and can speak to us any day, any time, any way. So if you'd join me in prayer. God, we're filled with anticipation, once again awaiting your word to us. We find it in the scriptures. We find it in community. We find it in the movement of your Spirit. And today we will find it in whatever is inside this brown bag. We give thanks that your meaning for us, that your love for us is so deep it can be found anywhere and everywhere. I pray for your wisdom, for your guidance, and for a good time had by all. Amen. Okay, do I just take the top off first? Okay. Robbie has brought, a photo or a drawing of some kind. So it is two people embraced in the shape of a heart. It's very lovely. Okay, I'm going to work on this, and I'll invite our acolytes. Do we have acolytes this morning? Who wants to be an acolyte? Aaron, run to the back. Aaron's on it. Okay, good, good, good. Those of you that raise your hand that haven't been acolytes before, I will gladly make sure you get trained so you can respond to this call anytime you want to. Grab a seat if you would. I'm going to just sort of turn this around. We'll put this here. That way when you come up for communion, you can see the picture more closely. Robbie, thank you for bringing something. Let me start. Hang on. I have to start a timer. My wife has instructed me over the years, on days like this, the key is knowing when to end. Robbie, thank you for bringing something this day. I appreciate it. And I know that sometimes it's trying to figure out, do I want something completely random? I see nothing in. Do I want something I see something in that maybe will help guide where I think he might go with it? It's all sorts of wonderful things. So if you haven't been able to see it, there's a beautiful photo with two faces that appear then to be two bodies connected, embracing, in the process forming the shape of a heart together. Again, I'll leave it up front so that during communion as you wander up, you can actually get a closer look. So when I see a picture like this, my immediate thoughts turn to love. Robbie, I bet this doesn't surprise you. I bet it doesn't surprise anybody. Two people, embrace, a heart, love. Now, I will tell you, love is an easy topic for a preacher to preach about. Because you can talk about anything. Which is also why it's a very difficult topic for a preacher to preach about, because you can talk about anything. Now, it is my anniversary, as was named, and honestly, it's wedding season, you know, and so I've been meeting with couples, a few of whom are in this very room, talking about weddings and the scriptures we might use, and I tell you, there are two kinds of scriptures I have memorized. One I mentioned to you earlier, Vacation Bible School songs. The other scriptures I have memorized are the ones I read at weddings, because I've read them like 250 times, over and over. And there are some favorites. There are those absolute favorite wedding scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13. Easy place to go when you see a heart and two people in an embrace. As I learned it in Vacation Bible School, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. This one? You know that one? It's a good one. Maybe you don't know the song. There's motions at the end, but my arm, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to see it. Another beautiful love verse we often find is Colossians 3:12. Not as often used as 1 Corinthians 13, but one of my favorites. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility. Bear with one another. Forgive each other just as God has forgiven you. And above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. These are beautiful scriptures on love. But the funny thing is, any biblical scholar who attends a wedding always sort of goes like this. Every time they get read, because they're not about romantic love at all. The scriptures we tend to use at weddings are about God's love for us and how we are to live God's love for all people, not just with one person. And we don't want to lose these beautiful and powerful scriptures on love with only thinking they're about one person. They're about how we interact and care for every person. As a United Methodist pastor, I love the idea of God's love for all people. One of the questions they ask you when you're about to be ordained is, do you believe you can be made perfect in love in this lifetime? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, knew that we couldn't be perfect as in not making mistakes like, oop, I added wrong, or I know, honey, I should have taken a right. It's supposed to be a left, and I'm sorry. Not those kind of errors. But that in every action, every interaction, we might live perfectly out of God's love. And this is a very high standard, and people thought he was nuts to ask us to live perfectly in God's love. But his response was, if we believe it not possible, how shall we ever attain it? We have to have it as a goal. So scriptures on love are very good for us that way. And I want to share with you an often overlooked scripture about love, because it comes from a book called Sirach. Many of you may not know that there's a book called Sirach in the Bible, because it's in what's known as the Apocrypha. So folks got together, they put the Bible together, they found the New Testament stuff, they took the Hebrew Bible, put a new name on it, called it the Old Testament. It's still the Hebrew Bible. It was theirs first. And we have it all in this book. And then a few hundred years later, they found a bunch of stuff and went, oh, if we'd known about it, it was already written, we just didn't have it available. If this was available a couple hundred years ago, we would have put this stuff in. And so they did. It's like a little appendix right in the middle. It shows up in almost every single Catholic Bible you'll find in a pew. It also shows up in any academic Bible. And I happen to have mine right here. And so I'd like to share with you Sirach 25, mildly adapted. Sirach is a book of wisdom, much like Proverbs. Hear this. I take pleasure in three things. They are beautiful in the sight of God and among all people. Agreement among brothers and sisters. Friendship among neighbors. And couples who adapt to one another. I love these words. I absolutely love these words. It talks about family. It talks about neighbors and friends. And it talks about what it is to be a couple. Now, I also, as we talk about couples, I'm very intentional here to name that there are all sorts of relationships. And I don't just mean gender identity or sexual orientation here. I mean, we have all sorts of couplings we take on in our lives where certain people become very important to us. And I think this applies in many ways. Because this scripture isn't just about romance, right? It's not. It's about our interaction together as God's people. I love the scripture. I'm going to read to you one more time because I love it that much. I take pleasure in three things, and they are beautiful in the sight of God and all people. Agreement among brothers and sisters, friendship among neighbors, and couples who adapt to one another. What I hear in this scripture are concentric circles of support and love and care, these sort of overlapping relationships. You don't just pick one of these things. Many of us have all of these things, if not biological family for brothers and sisters, our chosen family that we claim as our own people. We also see and hear that we have these people who live around us in our community, in our neighborhood. Okay, I'm wrapping it up. Our people in our neighborhood, our friends and family. So I want us to think about these different pieces. The first is the agreement among brothers and sisters. Now, please remember, agreement doesn't mean that we have to completely agree on everything. Often our deepest agreement is, we're going to stay in relationship while we figure this out. That's a form of agreement. Or more simply said, unity does not mean uniformity. We don't have to be the same to be together. But we can agree to be in relationship. It's about a commitment. This agreement we're invited into is a commitment to be together. That piece about neighbors who are friends, I love this because it's about relationship. It's not just about proximity. So often we have neighbors because of proximity, but what we're invited into is to see all people as our neighbors in this world and then not just say, okay, you are my neighbor, but move to a place of relationship. Isn't it neat to know that God cares, that we care about the people around us? And this last piece, the couples that adapt to each other. I love that it names, our scriptures clearly name that relationship is an ever-changing process. Often when I do a wedding, I will tell couples that the person standing across from them in that moment is not the same person they'll be married to in 20 years. Because they're both going to change. And who they've picked is a person that will help them change. This idea of adapting within relationship, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're dating, whether we're divorced, wherever we find ourselves, we're invited to recognize that relationships change us. Because love is powerful and can do so. And as we adapt to one another, as we grow and change in love, might we be moving towards that perfect love of God's. Because if we believe it not possible, how shall we ever attain it?